The opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell, here on KCNR Radio, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, your talk radio. Welcome to Therapy in a Nutshell this morning. This is Dr. Patty. We are going to be talking about habits, making them and breaking them. This is an interesting area, a topic to talk about, because in my 34 years of private practice as a marriage family therapist, I've seen people trying to make habits, trying to break habits. They often come into therapy because of bad habits, or because of habits that are ruining their relationships or harming their careers, and they really want to change. So the idea that when we really wrap our head around it, that habits can change our lives. They control our lives sometimes. And sometimes in a good way, we have good habits, and then often they're in a very negative way. So even with a lot of focus and effort and desire, it can be very difficult to change a habit. You can have the greatest of intentions and try hard and do it for a little bit and go right back to your old ways. So some of you are nodding your head out there going, yeah, I do that all the time. So what I want to teach you today is first to understand what habits are and how we develop them. And then what are some really cool ways that you can begin to break the habits that are bad for you and to make habits that you're really proud of, that you feel good about, and that augment yourself, your personality, your relationships, your jobs, your parenting, your schoolwork, whatever. You can make or break a habit if you recognize what it is, how you formed it, and how to change it. So I want to teach you that today. And it's really not hard. By the end of this show, take a few notes and really work the things I teach you, and you can be on your path doing some really cool stuff. So let's talk about one of the real key components of a habit, and that is the craving. Now, we say craving and we automatically think of food or something like that. But our brains, our psyches will crave a feeling, will crave something. It might be that we crave getting out of the house to outside, or we crave something to eat, or we're watching TV and we're bored and all of a sudden we crave popcorn. The things we crave are a real insight into what our habits are and what we want to change. So right now we're not looking at a specific habit. I want you to look at the overall pattern of how habits form. So be aware for a minute. Keep your cravings in your mind on the back burner as we talk about what makes up a habit. So why would we want to change habits? When we have a bad habit that can destroy a relationship or destroy your health, it's really important that you put some attention to it and start to change it. Often people with the best of intentions say they're not going to do that anymore. They're not going to do it anymore. I am no longer going to fill in the blank. And they feel like they can muscle it, so they stop doing that destructive thing. And then they fall short and they go back to their old ways. So let's take a look at how a habit happens. What is it that's occurring when you have a habit in your behavior? The first thing that will happen is there will be a cue. And the cue is for that thing that you crave. All right? So let's say that you crave greasy, salty French fries. And the cue is that you happen to drive by a fast food joint. And the cue is, oh, I could just pull in there and get some French fries. So the craving is for the French fries, and the craving is stimulated by the cue. And that would be the sight of the fast food joint. you need to know, it is not an accident that every single fast food joint looks like every single other one of the same name. All the McDonald's look the same inside. All the Burger Kings look the same. And that is because the marketers for the fast food industry know that the cue of walking in, smelling the French fries, knowing where to go, not having to think about where's the line, what do I do, where do I get my ketchup, all of that stuff, that all becomes habit-forming when you don't have to think. So it is not an accident that fast food joints all look the same. They don't want you to be cued by external stimuli. They want you to be comfortable, cozy, and they want you to be cued by your cravings. Let that sink in for a minute. How manipulated do you feel at the moment? So a cue will either increase your craving or it will respond to a craving. But the cue and the craving are all wrapped up in each other. Now, look at it for something other than French fries at a fast food joint. Look at it as you're not really hungry, you're really busy, you look up at the clock and it's 12 o'clock and you go, oh, I need to eat some lunch. Are you hungry? Were you cued by your internal mechanism of hunger? No, you were cued by the clock saying what time it was, and you decided it's time to eat. So the cue will tell you to start your habit. Now, let's look at that in terms of alcohol. You come in from work, you're tired, you're stressed, you sit down on the couch, and your cue is to get a beer, to get a glass of wine, to get a cocktail, because your habit is that you are cued by your stress and your tiredness, and you're cued by the sitting down on the couch or sitting out in the backyard on the deck. And that cue triggers your craving, which then leads to the next part of a habit, which is the behavior. The cue and the craving will lead to the behavior. And the behavior is usually pretty similar. Think about it. Pick something that you do by habit, having a drink at night, eating popcorn when you watch TV. It's noon and you want to go to lunch. You're on your way to work and you need to drive through Starbucks and get your... My two daughters are smiling at me right now because they do that all the time. So that cue of I'm driving to work, I see the Starbucks, or I'm going to drive by it, I need my Starbucks in my hand to head into the office. That's a habit triggered by a craving and a cue. So the behavior is the repetition of driving through Starbucks, paying them their money, getting your drink, heading to the office, knowing that you've got your coffee there with you, the coffee that you like, not the office coffee. So your habit is based around a very specific cue and a very specific behavior that you do in relation to that cue. Then the final thing that really cements a habit into your brain is the reward. There's something about this habit that you like. There's the sugar rush. There's the taking the first sip of your beer when you get home from work and going, oh, your signal to put your feet up and relax. And that is the reward that rewards that behavior that you just did, that reinforces the cue that was stimulated by the craving. So in order for you to understand the things that you have habitually in your behavior, you have to stop and say, what is the habit I want to address? And as you learn in this show today, you're not going to do a habit across the board. Like, you don't say, I need to eat healthier. I'm going to eat healthier, totally. I want you to pick one habit, like I need to stop eating ice cream after dinner, or I eat way too much sugar, and pick one thing that you eat. That's stopping by and buying the sleeve of Oreos at the fast food place, or the where you get your gasoline. Pick one behavior that you can analyze in how we're talking about this. You want to figure out what the habit is, what it is you crave, what the cue is, getting gas in your car, going in buying a sleeve of Oreos, the behavior that you do, eating the Oreos while you're driving on home or whatever, and the reward that you get the sugar rush, the taste in your mouth, the repetition, the familiarity, and the comfort that that habit brings you. All right, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, I'm going to teach you how to begin to do this differently.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision. Thankfully, it appears that Coach Master Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coach Master is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. You're listening to the incredibly beautiful music of Randy McGinnis, Native American flutist. Has played all over the world, has won numerous awards. He's currently the Lifetime Achievement Award for Native American Flute. He's an amazing man, amazing talent, and we are appreciative that he allows us to use his music here on our show. You can go to randymcginnis.com and check out his music. Also, Spotify, Pandora, iTunes, CD Baby, all over the place you can find him. He has 6 CDs, and each one is different. They're incredible. All right, this is Dr. Patty, and we are talking about habits. What starts them? How do you recognize them? What makes a habit? And then what I want to teach you how to do is how to break a habit. So let's go back to the formula. You need to understand what it is you're craving and what it is the cue that triggers you into doing your habit. What is the behavior that you do? And then what's the reward for what you have just done? So let's look at some of the typical things that people, the habits that they want to break. First, we're talking about breaking habits, not making habits. So I often hear, I want to break habits around food. I don't want to eat ice cream anymore. I don't want to eat greasy fast food stuff. I go to McDonald's way too often or something like that. I want to eat healthier. So that's something I hear a lot. Another habit that people want to break is procrastinating. I'm tired of putting things off, not getting things done. I mean to do it differently, and then I procrastinate and I mess things up. And you may very well totally tick off your spouse if you procrastinate a lot. So there's things that you can do with that, looking at just the basic thing of procrastinating, the basic thing of eating healthy. I hear a lot of people wanting to break bad habits surrounding alcohol. And I'm not talking about when people are really alcoholics, they need to go to AA, they need to totally quit drinking. It is a huge destructive force in their life. That is a topic for a different show. But this is like the beginnings of that. I'm talking about people that don't get drunk, they don't end up getting hungover, they aren't affecting their work life, they're not ruining their marriages, but they feel like they're too dependent on alcohol to relax. They think of alcohol when they're stressed, And they say, I don't like the pull that alcohol has on my life, and I want to do it less. And I've had that come into my office lots and lots of times. And smart people do that before they need to go to AA, and they're totally into alcohol in a very dysfunctional way. So these are some of the type of habits that people say they want to break. So let's look at those for a minute. What is the craving? Is it the craving for sugar or fat or salt? Is it the craving for the taste of a beer or the sound of pouring a glass of wine or how you feel when you sit down after work and put your feet up and finally give yourself a cue to end your day and be done? That cue can cue that craving for a certain food or for alcohol or for a dysfunctional sort of thing that you don't like that you're doing. Just like the cue of filling your car up with gas might cue you to go into the store attached to the gas station and get a candy bar, get sugar, get a sleeve of Oreos, get something. And you have to recognize the craving and the cue. Then what you have to say is, what's the behavior? Like pulling into the gas station, there's the cue. Going in to pay for your gasoline as opposed to doing it at the pump. That's the behavior that walks you into the store. Once you're in the store, grabbing that candy bar or whatever and paying for it with your gasoline is simple because it's all part of a learned behavior. Then the reward is that sugar rush, that good taste in your mouth for a moment, even if it's followed later by, why did I do that? Or that candy bar makes me feel horrible. The pattern of behavior with the craving, the cue, the behavior and the reward is powerful. It's powerful on your brain, and it makes you do it again and again and again. So let's talk about the things that you want to stop doing, that you want to start doing. Now, those are things you want to stop doing. Things you want to start doing. I want to work out more. I want to go for a walk every night after dinner. I want to show up at the gym, not just pay for my membership every month. I want to start doing these productive things. So what you have to do is say, what is the cue to go to the gym on a regular basis? And let's say your idea is, I'm going to get up early. I'm going to go to the gym on the way to work, and then I'm going to change my clothes at the gym and head straight to work. And that's how I'd like to do this, because I say I'm going to go after work and it just doesn't happen. So in order for that to happen, you have to have a cue when you first wake up in the morning to go to the gym. For example, your workout clothes are all laid out for you to get into. Your work clothes have been put in the car, hanging up with your gym bag, with everything you need to go to the gym, get dressed, and go to work. So when you get out of bed in the morning, the first cue you see are your workout clothes, your tennis shoes. That's what you do when you get dressed. If you get out of the shower, that's what you put on because it's sitting right there. Your cue for the new behavior is sitting in front of your face. Then the behavior that you have to do is actually do it. And let's break that down. Let's say that you can't make yourself go to the gym. You just can't pull it off. And one of the reasons people don't go to the gym is they feel they really need to be at the gym, and they look like they need to be at the gym, so they're embarrassed to be at the gym. They've got what I call the F and U's, the fat and uglies. I look fat and ugly. I don't want to go, like, jiggle my fat on the treadmill. And so they don't go. So let's put that aside. What we're saying is, how do you get there? So let's say that you can't make yourself go. For a while, you're going to get up, get dressed in your gym clothes, get ready to go, and if you can't make yourself go, okay, you can put on your work clothes and go to work. The very act that you have gotten up and put on your gym clothes and you're ready to go will move you toward, I might as well go. Then what you're going to do for the next step is you're going to get up, put on your gym clothes, have everything in the car, and then you're going to actually show up at the gym. Now, let's say you're not quite ready to work out. Go walk around the gym. Go look at the treadmill. Go walk around in there. You've got your gym clothes on. You're walking around. You have told yourself you can leave if you need to. So you leave, go to work, get dressed. When you get the habit of getting up, looking at the cue, and doing the behavior of going to the gym, then the reward of being there and actually working out will begin to come with that pattern of cue, behavior, reward. But you have to create it for yourself, and you have to get by it sometimes in little small steps. Okay? So take a look at what is the habit you want to make or what is the habit you want to break, and let's break down what the cue, the behavior, and the reward is. And how can you break that down into small enough steps that you could actually do it? You want to take a walk every night after dinner? Have your shoes laid out for when you get home from work and take off your work clothes. You put your tennis shoes on, you put on your shorts or whatever you would go out and walk in after dinner. And you're halfway there. You've got your tennis shoes on and you head out the door to go do your walk. And then what could be your reward after your walk after dinner? That you get to come home and watch your Netflix show. Or that's when you get to turn on the news. Or that's when you get to sit on the couch and have a glass of wine. But you have to do the new behavior that you want first, and the reward is that thing that you're putting off, like watching your show. And you have to remember that you can't leave out the cue to do it, and that you have to begin the behavior sometimes in what's called successive approximations. And that's where you get closer to doing the behavior and closer until you're actually doing the behavior. And you kind of sneak it in on yourself. So once you've gone out for your walk every night after dinner and you've gone to the mailbox and back, next time you can say, I'm going to go the corner and back. Next time I'm going to go all the way two blocks and back. You get used to the habit of going, and you get into a reward when you come back. Or the reward is that you get to listen to a certain Audible book while you're walking after dinner, and that's the only time you get to listen to it. You have to work with your brain, is what I'm saying, to make or break a habit. And you have to understand what the goal is that you want, taking a walk after dinner, only drinking one glass of wine when I come home from work. What am I going to do to make or break that habit? So define what the goal is. Define what the habit is that you want to make or you want to break. And then figure out what the cue is for that, or what is a cue that you can institute if you want to make a habit? What's the behavior that would be doing that or not doing that habit? And then what's the reward that you get from it so you understand it? Recognize that sometimes it is easier to institute a behavior than to take away a behavior. For example, if you don't want to have a big bowl of ice cream every time you're watching TV at night, then you've got to recognize the cue is that it's enough after dinner that your blood sugar's dropping. You're starting to crave sugar. So what I want to do is have something to snack on. So I have carrots and ranch dressing all in the refrigerator ready to go. When I get that cue that my blood sugar's dropping and I'm kind of hungry after dinner, I'm going to get up just like I did to go get the ice cream. I'm going to grab my carrots, my baby carrots, and my ranch dressing, and I'm going to go back and sit down on the couch, and I'm going to eat that. And the reward's going to be the feeling of satisfaction that I did it, the sugar rush that you get from the natural sugar in the carrots, and the habit being broken of getting up and eating a big bowl of ice cream. So you've recognized it, and you've changed the behavior, substituted a different behavior, a healthier behavior, that still has the same cue and the same reward. Catching on here? It's all about the cue and the rewards, and that's what forms a habit. Now, there's a really important issue of how to make or break a habit. We're going to go to break, and when I come back from break, I'm going to give you a really cool way to make it even easier.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. We are currently hiring for our award-winning team of caregivers. We are a home care agency who provide non-medical home care services for seniors in our community, like cooking, shopping, light housekeeping, and driving our clients to appointments. If you are a retiree, student, or mom and interested in flexible hours, we have 2 to 4 hour shifts with weekend and evenings available, as well as full-time opportunities. To apply, visit our website, ReadingHomeHelpers.com, or drop off your resume at 2620 Larkspur Lane. Reading Home Helpers, proudly serving our community for 16 years, and I look forward to meeting you.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadero is now making dental work more affordable by offering a dental discount savings plan annual membership. The dental discount savings plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadero. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we're talking about habits, making them and breaking them. So I want to give you a formula that goes right along with the cue behavior reward principle of making or breaking a habit. And that is to do a 21-day challenge. And research has shown that it takes 21 days to make or break a habit. So it isn't something you just do once or twice and then you go, oh, this is my new habit. You have to keep it up for about 21 days. And once you do that, it will become ingrained in you and it will be as ingrained as when you got up to get the bowl of ice cream or that cocktail you had to have when you got home from work. Or one of your electronic habits like checking your phone every 30 seconds or 2 minutes. Those are habits that get ingrained with us because there is a cue, a behavior, and a reward. So the make it or break it in 21 days is a really fun thing to do. I like to tell my clients to get a little stack of sticky notes. And on the stack of sticky notes, write 21, flip a page, write 20, flip a page, write 19. So you've got 21 sticky notes all stuck together and put it on the refrigerator. Every day that you do your new habit, you peel off one of the sticky notes, and you're going to do it. Your intention is to do it for 21 days straight. So let's say the new habit you're going to form, you've decided, I don't want to be so controlled by needing to relax with alcohol. So the new habit you're going to form is you're going to come home, and you're going to drink a big glass of water, and you're going to put on your tennis shoes and go for a little walk before dinner. Because you need to unwind from work. You're figuring out that's one of your cues for coming home and having to grab a beer or something. So right there by the door, you've got your tennis shoes. You're going to come home. You're going to drink a big glass of water. You're going to put on your tennis shoes. And you're going to walk out to the mailbox. Or you're going to walk down the block. And that's going to be your new habit, to go for a walk before dinner when you get home from work to unwind and think about the day or to let go of the day. So for 21 days, you're going to do that. Even if all you do is go to the mailbox, that counts. You've put your shoes on. You've headed out the door. You are making a habit. You are developing the cue and the behavior. This is good. So you go to the refrigerator and you peel off the 21 days. Now you're down to 20. If you're anything like me, the actual doing it all the way and not stopping is a reward in itself because it would drive you nuts if you got to 10 and you stopped. That is good for me, but not everybody thinks like that. So do the 21 days and really look at it and set your mind to what the new behavior is going to be and then figure out the cue for it and figure out the behavior of it and break that behavior down into small, minute things that you can do. Here's what I hear people do. They'll say, I need to go for a run when I first get home from work. And their idea is they're going to come home from work and they're going to go on a 5-mile run. They're going to work their way up to 5 miles. They're going to start with 3 miles. And they get home from work and they're tired and they don't want to. And it sounds oppressive and it's hot out. And I don't want to do it because it's too much. Now, let's say you'd be really happy if a year from now you were doing 5 miles when you got home from work. Okay. But you have to get the cue, the behavior, and the reward going before you ever get to that point. So you break it down into something smaller. I don't want to sit down and pour a glass of wine or a beer when I get home from work. I want to do something healthier that clears my head, that's more productive. So my tennis shoes are sitting right there. There's my cue. I come home, I put them on, and I don't have to think in terms of 5 miles for a run. I'm going to think of going back outside and getting the mail, walking down the block, strolling around a little bit, and getting the behavior going of doing something else besides going and sitting on the couch with a beer. All right, you catching the philosophy here? We want to make a habit by getting a different cue, a different behavior, and finding the reward in it. Even if the reward isn't the actual walking and going down the mailbox, the reward is coming back and sitting down and then having dinner and you're saving having a cocktail for the weekends, not after work. Your after work routine becomes different. So the idea is to decide what your goal is and then back it up into very small increments and then break it down into the cue, what the behavior would look like, even a portion of the behavior, and then the reward for having done that. Let's say that you go to the gym, you show up and you work out, and your reward is you're going to drive by Starbucks and get coffee on the way to work. Okay. Let's say you make a new rule that you can only go get Starbucks on the way to work if you go to the gym. And you work hard at following your rule because it becomes your cue that you have to have gone to the gym to go get coffee. So it's going to take about 21 days to make or break that habit. And you've got to be consistent for 21 days. And then it'll start to get easy. It'll become part of you and part of your brain. Now, I want to teach you another component of this, and that is this principle called the 80-20 principle. And it's been around for a very long time. Businesses have used it forever. To give you the background, it's a Pareto principle. It's named after an Italian economist named Vilfredo Pareto. And he figured out that 80% of the effort or the output or whatever it is you're doing comes from 20% of the input or the action. So if we look at this in terms of habits, 80% of your effort isn't, or your change isn't going to come from a big majority of what you do. It's going to come from 20% of your concerted effort. So the big changes and the output of what happens comes from changing just 20% of that input. So you can look at it in a lot of different examples. If you look at your clothes, 20% of your clothes are probably what you wear. 80% of what's sitting there in your closet you probably don't touch. All right? That's that 80-20 principle. We tend to focus on what we want to do and our energy of what gives us the most outcome for our least amount of energy. So if you look at that 80-20 principle in terms of habits, what you want to do is look for where 20% of your energy can go to get the most outcome for your habit changing. And it's often a way to do a bigger change in your life by changing something little. So we go back to that idea that you running 5 miles isn't going to happen by you doing a big 80% effort and running out and doing 5 miles one day. It's going to be on you focusing your change on 20% of what you do, putting on your shoes, walking out to the mailbox, walking further down the block, maybe even starting to jog a little bit after a while. But in the beginning, you just get the behavior going with 20% of your effort. So when you break it down this way, it starts to get easier and easier to figure out what are your habit loops. We all have habit loops. So right now, you're going to get out a piece of paper and you're going to list what are some of the habits that you want to make or habits you want to break? So make two columns on your piece of paper. Habits I want to make, habits I want to break. So often the habits people want to make are working out, eating healthier, calling their mother more. And I say that because so many people are in the sandwich generation between their kids and their elderly parents. And talking to their elderly parents isn't always easy. So they usually say, oh, I should be calling my mom more. I should be checking in on my dad more. And that's a habit you would like to get into. So these are the things you want to begin to do that make you feel better as a person, help you at your job, improve your relationship, improve your health. Another one I hear in my office a lot is my spouse and I have a good sex life when we actually do it. Getting it going is hard. We mean to, but we don't. And so their intention, the habit they want to have, is making love more regularly. And they can't seem to make it happen. So that's a habit you want to do, all right? Now, in the other column, put things of habits that you want to break. Drinking too much. And again, I'm not talking about the clean and getting clean and sober type of thing, but just cutting back on your social use of alcohol or your coping use of alcohol. And I'm going to do a whole show about that because it's a topic all in of itself. But another habit that you might want to break is your addiction to your electronics. There are people with video game addictions. Stop and think, what is your reward? The reward might be that you totally get space out and not think about anything in your life. So the cue, there's your controller sitting there, there's the couch, one of your buddies is texting you saying, get online, and you pick up your controller and you power up your video game, and you are immersed in your habit of your video game. So there's the cue, there's the behavior, and there's the reward of leaving your life for a little while. So look at your electronic addictions. Many people can't go 2 minutes without picking up their phone to check their Facebook, check their text, look at their email, see if anybody's trying to get a hold of them. They can't turn their phones off. They don't turn them off at night. They get woken up by texts or emails, you know, notifying them. So look at your electronic addictions. Look at your other habits in terms of, are there certain foods you go to when you're upset or when you're going, I don't care, whatever, you're giving up, and you go to those go-to foods. That might be when you go to have fish and chips, the French fries and fried fish, because it's a comfort food for you, and when you're stressed, you don't care about your life. So look at the foods you eat, look at your electronics, look at alcohol issues, look at your being sedentary, not wanting to move because you're too tired habits. Look at your weekend habits of, I want to stay up half the night playing video games or watching Netflix or being on my phone because I'm tired of the routine of having to go to bed because I have to get up at a certain time. So you might say, I have a bad habit on the weekends of staying up all night and sleeping way too late in the morning and never getting anything done. Those are habits I hear people talk about. So list your habits that you want to make, list your habits that you want to break, and then you're going to pick just one habit. So we're going to go to break, and when we come back, I want to tell you what to do with that one habit. We'll be back in a minute.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name, knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is the second generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
At a time when organizations upholding traditional views of marriage are increasingly under attack, President Trump has just signed an executive order that strengthens our nation's foster care system by calling on states and cities to partner with faith-based and other private charities.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we're talking about making or breaking habits. So get your pad of paper out that you already should have had out before, and you've got a column with habits you want to make and habits you want to break. And then I want you to pick one habit that if you could change that nasty, not good habit, or you could make one habit that would make you feel really good about yourself, you're going to pick just one. All right. So get a separate piece of paper and write the habit down of what it is. Checking my electronics too much, or video game habit, or habit I want to make. I want to go to the gym 3 times a week, or I want to spend less money at Starbucks. I want to stop blowing a lot of money there. You want to make or break a habit. Define what the habit is. And I want you to clearly state whether you want to make this habit or you want to break this habit. Then what you're going to do is set the goal. First you define the habit. Now you're going to write what the goal is. So the habit might be being too sedentary, not ever working out. So the goal is I want to go for a walk every night after dinner, or I want to go to the gym 3 times a week, or I want to sign up for a yoga class and actually go. So you're going to define what the goal is. Then what we need to stop and do is say, what are the cues that would make you actually begin to do this habit, or what are the cues that you need to change in order to break this habit? For example, if your habit you want to break is going to Starbucks every day on the way to work because it's costing you a whole lot of money and you don't want to do that, and your cue is when you drive by that Starbucks, drive a different route, okay? Or purposely do look somewhere else when if you have to go by that Starbucks. Or make your coffee at home and put it in your to-go cup and it's right there in your car and you drive a different route. You want to change the cue if you're trying to break a habit. You want to install a cue if you're trying to make a habit. So if you want to go to the gym 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday night, you do that. Put your gym clothes out. First thing you see when your alarm goes off and you get up is there are your tennis shoes and your workout clothes. Your stuff is already in the car that you might need. Your gym bag's right there with your bottle of water and whatever. Your cue is right there, and you don't have to think about it, and it's ready to go. So figure out how you're going to try to eliminate a cue, or you're going to try and install a cue. Then the next thing you're going to do is say, what is the behavior? What would the behavior look like when I reach my entire goal? So if your goal is you're going to go to the gym 3 times a week, what would that look like? You would say every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, almost without fail, I go to the gym. I've been doing that for years now. Okay, so you have a vision of what the behavior would look like. Now we're going to break that behavior down to something that's bite-sized. I always tell kids in my office, how do you eat a hippopotamus? One bite at a time. So if your goal is to be able to go on a 5-mile run every day before work or every day after work or when you first get up in the morning, then you're going to start by putting on your shoes, going outside, going to the mailbox, jogging to the corner, coming back. You're going to do a bite size of that behavior. Then what you're going to do is figure out, what is the reward when I do this behavior? Many times people think, I'm going to go to the gym on a regular basis. They don't figure out their cue. They don't break down the behavior of how they're going to do it and get there. And the reward they're thinking of is, I'm going to be in my size 2 jeans. And they're 12. So the reward is way too often the distance. You need a reward that's much more immediate. When you do the behavior that heads you toward the goal of being in a good habit, you have to have an immediate reward. So the immediate reward could be that you get to listen to your audiobook while you're there. The one book you've really been wanting to listen to, and you only get to listen to it at the gym. You only get to listen to it if you've gone to the gym. You only get to go in and watch your Netflix show if you have gone on your walk after dinner. You only get to pour that glass of wine if you have come home, had a big glass of water, gone out to do your walk, come home, eaten dinner, and then if you still want a glass of wine, you can have it. But you have to recognize there needs to be a reward, at least in your head. And sometimes just feeling good about what you did is not concrete enough for some people. Some people it is. Working up a sweat, feeling good, coming back in, feeling like, whoa, I did it. That's awesome. Sometimes that's reward enough in itself. Some people need something more tangible. And don't be embarrassed if that's you. So you've set your goal. You've figured out what the behavior is that makes that goal happen. And then you've broken it down into little pieces. And then you've figured out what a reward is to make it really positive that you've instituted your behavior. People mess up in making or breaking habits because they set habit goals that are very vague, like, I want to be in better shape, or I want to eat healthy, or I want to spend more time with my spouse. I want to stop wasting time, you know, watching TV. I want to spend more time with my spouse. Pick a specific goal that you want and then break it down into how to form that habit. And you have to remember that our brains are wired for repetition. Our brains like it when we get cued and do something and get rewarded for it because that's a survival instinct. When the hunter, the caveman, is cued by the sound of the animal and the behavior is to hunt it and the reward is food on the table, that's a powerful habit energy and a powerful behavior to keep living. So our brains are wired that way. And we can use that to our advantage or we can ignore it and have trouble making or breaking a habit. So just in review, I want you to remember that 80% of the output that you're going to get is from 20% of your input. So you really want to focus that input in a productive way to create a really good outcome. So when you're making or breaking a habit, you first have to define what that is, what you're going to do to make or break the habit, what it is you want to do or change or be different. Then you want to define the cue. What is the craving stimulates that habit? Or what is the cue, the sight of something or the smell of something or the thought? What is the cue? Then what is the behavior that you do? And break that habit down. I get up, I go to the refrigerator, I get the ice cream, I get a big bowl of ice cream, I go and sit back down on the couch and I zone out in the sugar, you know, coma. You can see when you break it down like that, what's the cue? What's the behavior and what's the reward that you get? So break it all down to where it is very on the front of your mind. You're not doing it unconsciously. You're doing it in a very conscious way so that you're going to create a habit loop that has intention, right? Instead of being unconscious and you kind of don't know you're doing it, this habit loop is going to have intention to it. And the intention is to create something that feels better and that makes you healthier, makes your relationship healthier, makes you better at work, makes you a better parent, makes your garden look better. Pick an end goal and then break it down into a specific behavior that creates a step toward that ultimate goal. If your ultimate goal is to get in better shape, you can't just have it be vague like that. You have to break down what it is that would take you there. So habits are kind of fun to look at when you do it this way. They don't have to be so intimidating. I like couples to look at their habits for what are their good habits for their relationship and what are their destructive habits for the relationship. I also like them to, like, it's not unusual in a couple session that I'll say, tell me two habits that your partner does that you really can't stand. Tell me two habits that your partner does that you really like. Okay? And it might be something simple, like a habit I can't stand is he never puts the cap back on the toothpaste. I don't like sharing a toothpaste tube with him. A habit that he does that you like is he might get up and make you coffee in the morning and bring it to you in bed. Really acknowledge what those habits are that you like and what you don't like. And then it's kind of fun for each of you to pick a habit that your spouse doesn't like and say, I'm going to change that one. And then break it down into this whole idea of cue, behavior, and reward. So let's say your spouse can't stand it, that you squeeze the tube in the middle and leave the cap off. And you say, okay, I'm going to work on that. So what would be your cue to change that? And how would that behavior look? And your reward might be that it's really important that your spouse say, I see how you've been doing the toothpaste differently, and I really appreciate it. I mean, when you hear that, it sounds kind of stupid and little, but it's fun and it's powerful. And you do that for 21 days, it starts to become a habit. 2 years from now, your spouse might say, my wife used to always leave the cap off the toothpaste. She never does it anymore. She made a concerted effort to change that behavior, and she did. So doing it as a couple, doing it as an individual, doing it as a team in your job, getting your sales team together, getting your office staff together, and saying, what is a habit that each of you have that if you broke that habit, you would be a better employee? Give me a habit that you want to institute that would make you a better employee. So let's say an employee says, you know, I got a habit of showing up 5 minutes late. And by the time I get my coffee, put my stuff away, I'm 20 minutes late by the time I sit down at my desk and start working. I want to change that. So the habit they want to institute is I want to show up at work 10 minutes early. I want to get my coffee. I want to be at my desk ready to go when the day starts. And so you help them figure out as a team. You help each other figure out what are the cues, what are the rewards. And as a boss, you want to notice that they change their behavior and be part of the reward. Okay? Is this making sense? It's really pretty simple, you guys. If all you get out of this show is cue, behavior, reward. That's how I make a habit. That's how I break a habit. Cue, behavior, reward. You can do it. This is Dr. Patty, and you've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell, where all I want to do is help heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.